This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Just before 6 p.m., splashdown, and the astronauts return from their extended mission in space, Butch and Sonny. And it was really a moment. I think the world was watching. All the networks went live and showed the process of the parachutes deployment and the capsule splashing into the Gulf off the coast of Florida. And what happens next? CBS's Karen Waugh.
They're going to be spending a few days here at the Johnson Space Center at the crew quarters. The medical experts are going to check them out, make sure they're readjusting to this gravitational pull back here on the ground.
A Houston homecoming. Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams reunited with loved ones hours after their return from a 286-day space odyssey.
Splashdown, Crew 9 back on Earth.
The SpaceX Dragon carrying Wilmore and Williams, along with Crew 9 Commander Nick Hague and Russian cosmonaut Alexander Gorbunov, splashed down off the coast of Tallahassee, Florida at just before 6 p.m. yesterday.
Some happy waves, smiles all around.
A pod of dolphins swam nearby as the recovery team pulled the capsule out of the water and later assisted the four crew members as they climbed out. In Williams' hometown in Massachusetts, residents gathered to root for her return.
We all kind of feel relieved that she's, like, safe.
Ignition. The two astronauts launched on the first human test flight of the Boeing Starliner in June of last year. But the vessel developed propulsion problems and, for safety reasons, returned to Earth without them, stretching their planned 8-day mission to 9 months. It was a SpaceX vessel that finally brought them home after it carried their replacements to the ISS.
And it shows the benefits of the commercial public-private partnership that we have.
During their extended mission, Williams set a spacewalk record for women astronauts. NASA says she and Wilmore also conducted more than 150 experiments.
Yeah, since they were already there, Paul, why not? I mean, what else were they going to do?
Right.
Can you imagine still, and I'm sure many people will be interested to hear how they dealt with, you know, the continued delays.
You know, I wonder, are they going to get mental health evaluations and are they going to get counseling or any kind of therapy if they need it? I mean, when you're stuck in a small spot like that for that length of time and, you know, weren't expecting to, it's got to have some effect, right?
Yeah, it's
at least want to talk about it.
Something that I'm sure every time, though, that I've seen them when they were in the space station, they seemed to be very enthusiastic, up, and, you know, perhaps they were able to do that for the cameras.
On the flip side, Larry, maybe they were delighted to be there.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it that way, as long as you know, hey, I'm going to get home eventually, and thank God they did. And I thought additionally that visit by the pod of dolphins when the capsule splashed down was pretty incredible. It really, really was.
When I saw that video, it just made my day. Greeted by a pod of dolphins on your return to the planet.
That was pretty cool. What else is going on? This story you have about Marshall Township, the gun shop there. Pretty elaborate and pretty fascinating about how law enforcement has already recovered some of the stolen guns. So they smashed a window, and they were obviously in a big hurry. And initially, when the burglar alarm went off, It was reported as a false alarm initially, which gave them a little time, but they had somebody waiting outside in a stolen car.
This is very similar to earlier crimes, almost identical in how it's...
And they're suggesting...
I don't know how they do their thing, right?
This may be a group that has done this before, potentially, and had plans to do it again.
I know they caught two of the four are in custody now, and they recovered six of the weapons when they made a traffic stop, and also they searched a home. But that still leaves, you know, the vast majority of the more than a dozen, including some semi-automatic rifles, like AK-47 style.
Well, I'm sure if they caught two of the four, they're going to get the other two. And how they caught them was interesting, because it was the stolen car was the initial link, right? And that was the getaway vehicle. And this is in Marshall Township, which is kind of a quiet neighborhood, right? But
North,
it shows
North Hills.
This stuff can and does happen everywhere. And a lot of people are going to be talking about this situation where we are in a fire risk, high fire risk for wildfires. And when's the last time you heard that at any season?
Well, we had one not long ago, within the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, but confined to the month of March, especially. And we saw a couple of weekends ago, wildfires, of all places, in Long Island, or on Long Island. So there's a high risk of danger. So we're going to talk to the state fire commissioner this morning. And Rich Fitzgerald will be with us next hour. We're going to have a conversation with David Holmberg. You might know that name and why we're talking to him this morning. And we're going to check in with Westmoreland County, where there's a lot going on. And coming up in the next half hour, tickets. I'm going to give away tickets to Pirates and the Yankees opening weekend on that Saturday. So stay with us on the Big K Morning Show. We'll check your AccuWeather forecast and weather. Next for you to see the Pirates and Yankees Saturday, April 5th. Now, the home opener is Friday, and this is a big weekend. 4:05 first pitch, and we'll give you a chance to do that in the next half hour. Egg seizures. So you've heard about egg prices, right? So it's become the hot commodity.
So in other words, you have an egg and then you have a seizure?
No. U.S. Customs agents have seized more eggs at the border than fentanyl or other drugs. This is true.
What is happening?
According to this report, U.S. Border Protection agents have seized nearly 4,000 poultry-related products, most of them eggs. And that's compared to 352 cases of confiscated fentanyl. Egg smuggling has doubled in some border states or more, and here's why. The cost of the eggs, $3 a dozen in Canada, $2 a dozen in Mexico. So there are smugglers trying to smuggle in cheap eggs to sell them at a premium here. But our border agents have stopped this cold.
I mean, eggs are a big part of probably so many people's diet. They don't know what to do.
How much are eggs now, a dozen?
I think, well, when we spoke to the farmer, she said it could go as high as $12, I remember her saying.
So a buck an egg.
But aren't they down prices?
A little bit.
Yeah.
On the eggs?
Mm-hmm. Here in the U.S.
Yeah. And you know what else is a hot seller? How about this? Ozempic. Researchers, University of Ottawa, think they've made Ozempic grow on trees, literally. Out of the ground, they grow. They used a type of tobacco plant to make the same kind of GLP-1 drug that's in Ozempic and other versions, and they think they can have the plant grow in your backyard. So if you want to lose weight, at some point, you may be able to go grow this on your own and just chew in a backyard like grazing like a cow.
It looks to me like, according to this Newsweek graph, that a wholesale price for a dozen is now 3.5. That's the wholesale price. It's dropped significantly. It's at, they say, a 5-month low. But now, how long did that take to get to the market from the wholesale, right?
Right. Question. I was curious.
That's the question.
Right. It's like a plot line of a horror script. A crew of South African researchers at an isolated lab in Antarctica are living in fear after one of their colleagues, quote, snapped. The emergency communication claims he attacked the base leader, and now the scientists are begging to be rescued.
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like The Thing starring Kurt Russell.
I was just going to say
that. And Wilfred Brimley, remember?
Yes. So they're...
The only thing that's different is no one's turned into a monster yet. But.
Yet. But, Aaron, when you're trapped, and I'm thinking of the astronauts, what if, you know, somebody on that space station just got a little antsy, like we've seen people do on airplanes?
100%.
So they're asking to be rescued, but the fastest anyone can get there to rescue them, apparently, is 2 weeks because of the weather.
Gosh.
I mean, they're in Antarctica. It's more likely they'll have to wait up to 10 months before help can arrive.
Mm.
This is sounding like Interstellar or those movies where you're just like, wow, you're stuck there forever.
I can't imagine. I get claustrophobic just thinking about it.
Yes.
There are many people who, if they have that feeling, you know, don't like to fly for that reason. You know who? One of them was, remember the late John Madden, who was the great color analyst in the NFL? He would drive his RV everywhere instead of flying in an airplane all over the country.
Yep.
Wow.
Custom bus was built. It was nice.
I mean, it's a good way to go, but driving compared to flying, you know, when you're going to New York to LA,
right?
Forget about it. But that feeling, and then if you're trapped with a few people, in a room, kind of like us. So if you look at our live stream, by the way, you'll see there are three separate capsules in here. The main studio, producer's booth, and then the news booth are all separated by double pane glass. And so I've never actually seen Aaron or Paul in person. They're just kind of animatronics.
We're in different tanks.
And then we all look out into the newsroom and we see...
A horrifying sight.
Pat Septek, our news editor. A horrifying sight.
Well, not Pat.
Oh.
The room in general.
Well, just the.
And what happens
is... The collective.
But if we were... I mean, this is during COVID. That's how it was with us, right, Paul?
Yeah.
No other human beings
really,
in the building.
This is the only time that I can think that this particular layout that was selected by a certain person we used to work for has actually proved to be worth anything.
Wow.
I don't like working in a separate room. In all the other places I've worked in the country, in New Orleans and Jacksonville, in talk programming, we've all worked together in one studio, and I miss that.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. And developments yesterday, President Trump in a two-hour conversation with Russian President Vladimir Putin, hoping to get a ceasefire. And, Paul, you say today you anticipate the president will speak to Zelensky from Ukraine.
Yeah, this is the day after they announced an agreement from Putin in Russia to stop attacks on energy infrastructure, I think was the basic plan. And, of course, we have a report this morning of an attack by Ukraine in response. They went after an oil depot in Russia, and the Russians launched multiple attacks, according to Zelensky. So the ceasefire, not so much.
And speaking of ceasefire, we saw since January there was no firing into Gaza, but that changed this week as well.
It did, and the White House is supportive of Benjamin Netanyahu's approach to this. The Israeli side of this equation says that the Hamas negotiators refused to compromise on their ceasefire agreement, and then the military action followed. And yesterday, the last report that I had was that the initial Israeli airstrikes had killed more than 400 in Gaza.
In other news, the U.S. National Archives and Records Administration released some 80,000 unredacted pages related to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. CBS News Washington Bureau editor Arden Farhi said the documents don't reveal a whole lot more yet.
The documents come from a variety of government agencies that have investigated the Kennedy assassination over decades. Some are hard to read, poorly scanned originals with handwritten notes affixed to them.
But there are some suggesting that there is some evidence in these documents that would suggest days before the president's assassination, he had spoken of an internal threat to every American. And there'll be a lot more on this when I'm sure you get a chance to sort through the documents. And so after all these years, I think people still aren't exactly sure what happened. It's safe to say.
I would imagine that there's going to be no shortage of people who claim they've uncovered some kind of conspiracy or some other version of the events than what the Warren Commission concluded took place.
And when you think about it, Pittsburgh played a big role in this whole thing. Arlen Specter.
That's right.
The late senator was involved.
He's the guy who came up with the magic bullet theory, Larry.
And then the late Dr. Cyril Weck, who was convinced that there was more than one shooter in this. And then why would someone have a reason to eliminate the president back then? There were a lot of entities, including some of our own, who had organized crime.
Yeah, and the Cubans.
And the Cubans related them to the Russians because of the Cold War and the missile crisis and all of those things. So after all these years, maybe...
And there were right-wing opponents as well.
Maybe we'll get...
Although I don't know that that really is as much an area of concern as the mafia and the communists in Cuba.
Well, there were also a lot of issues. So his brother, Robert Kennedy, who then later was assassinated, was attacking organized crime.
Yeah, he's going after Jimmy Hoffa hot and hard, yeah.
And then Jimmy Hoffa disappears. So this is still, after all these years, a lot of unanswered questions. And hopefully the release of these documents will help. By the way, the Fed, and why does this matter to you? Oh, they control the interest rates, which does matter to you. The Fed is wrapping up a two-day policy meeting. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
It's widely expected that the Fed is not going to take any action. That would leave Fed funds, the benchmark rate, at 4.25% to 4.5%. So no changes on your credit card interest, no changes on those savings account interest rates, everything as is.
So there were hopes because people like when the interest rates go down, when it comes to things like credit cards and other interest rates that are based on what the Fed does. And it usually helps with mortgage rates, too. So apparently, status quo after a series of reductions. So I don't think anything's going to change. And locally, I know a lot of people, and we'll talk about this in our top stories coming up in just a few minutes, but people heard Kennywood sold.
Right.
Get out.
Yeah. And I mean, they've been in the same family for over 100 years until 2008. Then this foreign company came in. I think, what are they based out of? Spain, right?
Yeah, and I don't think if you went out in the street and asked anybody that they would know what the name of that company is.
It's a hard-to-remember name. It's not an easy handle. But now that this sale is underway to a U.S. company, the good news is that this company runs small family-owned style parks like, for example, Dollywood. So that probably is a better fit.
And the natural question downtown today, well, is Dolly Parton coming?
From the Goldberg, Persky & White news desk, another gun robbery, this time a smash and grab at a business called Keystone Shooting Center.
Part of it's the juvenile correctional system, and part of it's just the parenting and how they're raised. But if there's no repercussions for what they're doing, then there's no reason for them to stop.
And the suggestion is they haven't been successful in nailing these individuals. And until they do, they feel these smash and grabs are going to continue.
Yeah, this went down on Monday morning. Four people involved. Three entered the building. One stayed out in a outside in a stolen car, Larry. That's how police wind up making an arrest. They do have one man and a teen in custody, but as this fellow was saying here, Tom Westfall, it's the problem is the juveniles. They return to the scene. This is not the first time this has happened. Now, in the Dominican Republic, the judge finally opened the door on Tuesday, Larry, for the last person to see missing Pitt student Sudiksha Konaki alive to return to the U.S. He says he's free to leave, and he ordered his passport returned.
And I'm sure he wants to get back to the U.S. The media that swarmed around him from around the world, I'm certain that at this point, and her parents have said, please, they want a declaration that she had drowned.
That's right. And in fact, they came out yesterday and made the announcement that they felt that she had got caught up in high sea waves, were the words that they used. This gentleman is Pat Quinn. His family co-owned Kennywood until 2008.
These are some smaller family-type parks, and so they definitely know what they're getting into, and I think they'll definitely instill those values, continue to go forward, and not lose that site of tradition.
Yeah, he's talking about Palace Entertainment, the company that is buying Kennywood from the Spanish company that's run it since.
And I would think this means they're going to continue to improve the parks. And as long as they don't take away the potato patch, that's good news.
Oh, by the way, this was Hirschend is the company that's making the acquisition. They've been in business for 75 years. They're the ones buying from Palace Entertainment.
And we'll see what future changes they will make. Thanks, Paul. Coming up next, a chance for you to see the Pirates and Yankees opening weekend at PNC Park. This is the Big K Morning Show, and every Wednesday on our 7 o'clock hour, we welcome in studio the Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, Rich Fitzgerald, fresh off St. Patrick's Day and the parade last Saturday, and a three-day weekend for many.
It was quite a festival. The parade went off very well, and everything went well, and other than a few incidents around town, it seemed like everybody really enjoyed themselves. The weather certainly cooperated on Saturday. It was temperate, and yes, it was very nice.
And how'd your son do with his Irish pub in Lawrenceville?
Busy.
Imagine.
I think he slept very well on Tuesday when it finally got to the end. But it's one of those things that you have a lot of fun. And Jim Lamb actually played there at one of the days, and good Irish music.
He's a talent. A musical talent. He can sing, and then he's the representative to the Ireland Institute, and he takes these young people in and helps them. And you know all about this because you were a part of it.
Yeah, the night before, Jim had hosted the Consul General and some Chamber of Commerce folks from Ireland. And there's a lot of trade that goes back and forth. Going back to the Ireland Institute, I know you did the dinner on Monday night that
right.
Mr. Rooney had started many years ago. And those relationships continue to grow. And obviously with the Steeler game this fall. But there's Jim as the ambassador one night, and then the next day he's providing great Irish music for, we still have such a large Irish contingent in this town, and people really enjoy themselves.
There is many connections for sure. And Jim Lamb, we had him on last Friday morning, and with him in the car, so he put him on, is Michael Savage from Newry,
yes,
which is where the Rooneys were from.
Yep.
And he's the chamber guy, very excited to be in Pittsburgh. And then they had that Donnybrook at the Priory that night.
Exactly.
Last Friday with the young boxers from Ireland and the U.S. and then the parade. I mean, it just kept going. And then I saw Jim. He sang and performed at, the Ambassador Rooney Ireland Fun Gala. And he sang the Irish National Anthem. Then he got in his car and he went. He had another gig.
It was a busy weekend. And they brought the boxers. Yes, they bring Michael Carruth, who's the only gold medal Irish boxer, Olympic gold medalist. He brings a team here every year, young people, and they fight the Pittsburgh Golden Glove young people, and it's a great event. They sell it out at the Priory every year, raise a lot of money for the event, for charity. And then those guys actually spend the night drinking at my son's place. And they're triplets. He's one of triplets. And they're on a different time. And they're used to 4 o'clock shutdown in Ireland. So at 2 o'clock, my son has to say, like, okay, it's time to go, guys. And they're enjoying themselves. I'll leave it at that. And,
that's good.
It's a nice time.
All right, Kennywood sold. Is this a surprise? Because we know that this company, the Spanish company, has owned it since, I believe, 2008.
Yes.
All three parks, when I say Kennywood, that includes Idlewild and Sandcastle.
Yes. And I'll tell you something. You know, yes, it's a big deal. And obviously, this multinational company who owns amusement parks all over the world, and, of course, Dollywood and some others. We're very fortunate in this town to have such great venues like Kennywood, like Idlewild, and Sandcastle. Not every community has these wonderful, wonderful venues that all of us have enjoyed as kids and then as parents and as grandparents to get.
So iconic.
They're so iconic and they're so wonderful. And you certainly hope the last owners, when they took over from the longtime Pittsburgh family, the Hennigan family, who owned it for the better part of a century, and I guess 15 or so years ago, this other company took it over. And it didn't really change. I think most of us probably didn't recognize that. And we hope this new company will maintain that character and the Pittsburghness of what we all appreciate.
And that said, we assume they're not purchasing it without thinking they can improve it.
That's right.
So
that's right.
They're coming here, and I'm sure we'll get some kind of vision of things they want to improve along the way.
Yeah, they'll probably want to add a few things. But, you know, you think about all the great memories so many Pittsburghers have of spending their school picnic or whatever it might be at Kennywood and Sandcastle and Idlewild over the years, where you get to take your grandchildren for the first time. It's a special memories.
As long as they don't take the potato patch away, I'm good. Monday night at the Ireland Fun Gala, I saw Pittsburgher of the Year, Christina Kasotis, and I reiterated, you know, when you're ready, Christina, to cut the ribbon, I want to be there. She said, yeah. She heard us, and you had her on the show here a few weeks ago. So excited about that. And plan, speaking of the future, the new airport will open this year in third quarter. Next year, it's the draft. We've heard a lot about that. But some announcements as the plans are starting to develop.
We're getting close. And as she mentioned in a public announcement, that a lot of the construction is really due to be done in June, at the end of June, June 30th. And that's kind of when a lot of the testing, and some of the testing is already being done on many of the components of the new airport. So, yes, we're going to see throughout the summer, I guess, a lot of testing, a lot of working out the kinks, working out the bugs for a fall grand opening in which you will be there, I will be there, and we will. It's just going to be a great thing. And I know it also sends a signal that Pittsburgh is on the move, that we're not just sitting on our laurels, that we're continuing to invest, we're continuing to build of the next generation of things that are going to make this place special.
And it comes at a great time because next year with that draft, all the new faces that will come to Pittsburgh, many for the first time, will have a different look. When they arrive, it'll be like, wow, this is a major league.
That's exactly right. And the one thing that the airport and Christina and her team wanted to do was make sure you knew you were in Pittsburgh. So many airports all look the same. You know, they've got the same venues, they've got the same concessions, and you don't never, if you're one or the other. We want to make sure that this is, you know, you're in Pittsburgh, and it shows off the great history and the great technology and the great things that are happening in Pittsburgh.
From what I've seen, that will happen. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the plan, and some of the plans for the draft are being revealed, but also the downtown park and the cultural trust and what's going on in our city with a special guest, David Holmberg.
Yeah, David wears a lot of hats, not just running the largest healthcare. Highmark Health.
Oh, that too.
That little little show, little place in town. But then he also chairs the Cultural Trust, which has become such a great iconic part of downtown Pittsburgh. And then also the Chamber of Commerce, the Allegheny Conference and Chamber of Commerce, which is also the 10-county regional economic development driver.
I didn't realize that they were linked like that.
Yeah.
All right, more to come. Rich Fitzgerald in studio. on the Big K Morning Show from the PJ Fitzgerald. Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald, and we have a special guest, the CEO of Highmark, but he has other hats he wears too, Rich.
He has some secondary jobs, yes, that's pretty important for this region. One is the chairman of the Allegheny Conference on Community Development, which is the 10-county economic development driver for and community development throughout the region, but also the chairman of the Cultural Trust, which has been so much involved, and the conference have been so much involved in getting us ready, us as a community ready for the NFL draft next year. So we wanted to get David on here. David, thank you so much for joining us on an early morning, and we're glad to have you.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. It's an honor to be here, and appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk about it. You know, like how I really need some hobbies besides doing all this stuff.
David Holmberg, do you golf or do anything else? Because you can't have much free time.
Well, unfortunately, my golf game is terrible. But Larry, I think the last time I saw you, I was running, preparing for the half marathon.
And, that's right.
And passed you on the street, and I think you were shocked that I could run that fast.
I was impressed, I will admit. So the plan for this NFL draft with Rich detailed was, you know, part of a, and I didn't realize that you were connected to the 10-county area as well, just announcing kind of the beginnings of what's going to take place next April. So what is generally the game plan? What would you like people to know?
Well, I think, you know, just from an overall perspective, I just would like to emphasize that this really is a regional plan. When we came out of the pandemic, there was a lot of challenges, that some of which we couldn't control. And it became very clear that we needed a plan. And so we were very fortunate that, you know, we convened a wide range of stakeholders, and not dependent on any one politician or political party or organization, but instead it was a cross-section of the region. And we asked everybody what they thought the priorities were and what we needed to focus on. And first thing they told us was we needed to have a plan to revitalize the downtown area, you know, with obviously the changes in how people work and where they work. And then, you know, in addition to that, you know, they told us it was important to have inclusive growth, find ways to make this a region that, you know, that people wanted to move to, live, work, and play, and that help us attract organizations from outside to find or to build companies here. And so, and then there were a couple of other things, you know, focusing on making sure that we got a fair share of our federal dollars that were being allocated across the country. And, you know, and making sure that, you know, that we had strong facts on the decisions we made. And so, long story short, many of you probably have heard, you know, the announcement about, you know, what we're doing with Arts Landing, the work that we're doing to essentially improve Market Square, the things that will be done on Point State Park. And frankly, we're using the draft to create a sense of urgency. You know, it's sort of like Thanksgiving, Larry, when you invite 250,000 people over for Thanksgiving, you better be ready. And you're going to be glad that they came, because it showcases the region and gives us all an opportunity from an economic standpoint. But you'll also probably be glad that they go home successfully. So
That'll be a good way to say it. And talk about Arts Landing for just a little bit. I think, you know, I think you mentioned that construction is going to begin in just a short period of time, and how that's absolutely going to be ready for the draft, but how futuristically it'll be a great gathering place for things like the Three Rivers Arts Festival and other great iconic events that happen in downtown Pittsburgh.
Rich, we, you know, one of the things that became very clear was that people wanted relevance. They wanted places they could go, public spaces that they could do things, and that was going to be part of the equation of how we would attract people to live in the city, how we would, you know, maybe change, you know, some of the perceptions. And Arts Landing was really about taking 4.5 acres of downtown space and turning it into a destination. It'll have a bandstand, so we'll be able to do actually shows and concerts. It's going to have a family play area, it's green space, public art, and the whole idea is to, you know, to create a destination where people of different backgrounds and interests can come together and have fun and have experiences. the Three Rivers Arts Festival, we anticipate we'll be able to move there. And it should give us a lot more flexibility being in the cultural district. You know, it allows us to leverage some of the other assets that have been built for the region over the last, 50 years.
It has to be really rare, David and Rich, to have in a downtown setting, an urban setting, an ability to create a new park. Because usually, you're landlocked, and in this case, this will be a great new addition.
Yeah, and the envision is it looks out, and for people to understand, they'll probably know where the Goodyear store is downtown. That's where it'll be located. But you'll be the looking out over to across the river to PNC Park, the beautiful vista that we have there. And you're right, and it was really a vision of the Cultural Trust, Kendra and David and their team, and a lot of other stakeholders coming together to do something that I, as David has mentioned, Pittsburgh's been a little bit on the defensive for a while, but now we're on the offense. We're playing offense, as David likes to say, about moving forward. And talk about that a little bit, David.
Well, Rich, when I was growing up, I played a lot of baseball, and I had the opportunity to play shortstop most of the time. And one of the first things I learned was, when the ball's hit to you, if you wait for it, if you're back on your heels, you're subject to odd bounces, and typically there's a good shot the ball's going to hit you in the chest. Whereas if you charge the ball, then you take it on your terms. And as we came out of the pandemic, we were a little bit back on our heels trying to figure out, like every other city in the country, where do we go from here? And what we have always had, and we have a history of, is coming together and solving big problems, and goes all the way back to the origins of the Allegheny Conference in 1946, the Cultural Trust in the 80s. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're charging the ball. We are on offense. And what this does for us is creates, Larry, you said it, but I don't know that there's been an urban park developed in any top 50 city in the country in the last three decades. I mean, this will be unique. It gives us a great venue to work with that we can activate and bring in unique kinds of experiences for people. It's all about relevance. I mean, we've seen with the Cultural Trust, particularly even in this year, we're selling out shows. If the show is interesting to people, if the event is interesting, the people of this region are showing up. And the stronger the downtown core is, the stronger the entire 10-county region will be.
Well, thank you for all your work for the Cultural Trust, the Allegheny Conference, and, that other job you have as president and CEO of Highmark Health. David Holmberg, good to talk to you, David. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Thanks for the work. Keep it up. Keep moving.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks, Larry.
You got it. Really hardworking man of vision. I appreciate that. But I don't think a lot of people knew that.
And you will see him running in those races, the downtown or the turkey trot. Well,
we got a lot of big races coming up here.
And he's in most of them, I'll tell you. I guess he's living what he says. You got to stay healthy, right? Running a healthcare organization. You want to run the run.
He runs, you're on a bike. It still works. This is the Big K Morning Show. The last day of winter is not going to feel like it. High near 80. Rich Fitzgerald in studio every Wednesday in this hour. And that's Pittsburgh weather in March. You know this, Rich, firsthand.
Yes, could be in the 20s in the morning and in the 80s.
Well, 24 hours ago, it was 29 degrees.
So. It's going to be maybe 80 today. Yes. All spring is coming. Yes.
It's much, much warmer in Westmoreland County right now.
We do know that, and that's because of County Commissioner Sean Curtis, who joins us now. And Chairman Curtis has got a lot of things happening in Westmoreland County these days. He's going to update us on a few of those. And a couple I'd like to talk about with Sean is, number one, a broadband update and maybe data center update as well. Commissioner, welcome. What's going on in Westmoreland County?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Larry, Rich, always thank you for having me on in the morning. I always enjoy talking to you about what's happening in Westmoreland County. And yes, I mean, obviously, broadband is a major issue. What we're trying to do is really, tie in all our residents throughout this county, because we are classified as a rural community. So in 2018, we released a comprehensive plan that showed, obviously, the major necessity for high-speed internet. And we promised in 10 years that we would start implementing this. Well, we're doing it now with the help of the SPC, unlike with many counties in the southwestern Pennsylvania. They helped kickstart this program by, you know, using the initial data, providing good industry overview in the structure program and what we can do. And our broadband studies show that we have 3,500 households not meeting basic internet speed. That's a necessity. So these locations are spread throughout the county, of course, not in dense locations. And we found out that the eastern part, which is the Ligonier, the Donegal area, the northern tier, believe it or not, up towards New Kensington, PA, and the southern tier along the I-70 corridor lacked infrastructure. So last year we put an RFP out and we signed a contract with Verizon that deployed fiber for four separate pockets throughout the county. And they started putting in high speed for 400 households. And this is a public-private partnership with Verizon. And, you know, and we gave approximately $1.7 million. Verizon put 3.5 in. And now we're moving on to 3,100 households, and we're looking at this BEAD funding that we see coming across the board, the $1.1 billion that's out there. And we put more and more RFPs out there to try to obviously continue to strengthen our county, because who would want to move to a county if you don't have the basic fundamentals of internet access? So I'm happy it's a, you know, bipartisan board. We're really active on the broadband, working collectively with all of my commissioner colleagues to make sure this is a reality. And the other aspect that, Richard, you brought up is the data centers. Now, that's a major, major we're seeing across all over the country, and we're happy to be part of that as well. We have a Miami-based company called TechFusion that announced the acquisition of the old Arconic technology site, which is in the Upper Borough, Washington Township, close to New Kensington, PA. And this campus was developed by ARCO in the 1960s for research and development. But like anything we see around here, unfortunately, that campus has slowly shrunk and it's been sitting idle. But now with TechFusion coming in here, they're purchasing 1,300 acres of the campus, and they're going to breathe new life into a site that was basically sitting there idle. And then the groundbreaking data center will be obviously help save and repurpose that area. It's going to be very significant and, you know, fundamental here. And they're also going to be providing their own electricity. They guarantee this because our power grids, we know in Pennsylvania as a whole, is really lacking, that they're going to have a natural gas site that they're going to obviously start pushing and keep the demand there for that we don't have any electric grid problems. So those are two big fundamentals this morning that I want to touch upon, Rich, and I, once again, you know, appreciate that.
Well, it's important that Alcoa Center that was built years ago is a major, major employer of the region. A huge campus, as you said, and, you know, so much of our industrial might around this region was in these big technical R&D centers that U.S. Steel had and J&L Steel and companies, some of that are no longer around. And the one in your county was major. And to get TechFusion in there and also to provide the electricity is also huge, because as people are basically fighting over how to get enough electrical power to run their operations of these data centers, will be a real economic boost for your county. Also wanted to mention and bring up, you know, the announcement that Penn State made a while back on some of the branch campuses around the Commonwealth. Obviously, the New Kensington branch is a very important thing to your county. And what do we know about what's going to maybe happen with Penn State, New Ken?
Oh, it's a shock to us all, and I believe all three of us are commissioners are going to go up there. We're holding a rally tomorrow evening up in City Hall of New Kensington to illustrate the importance. I mean, Rich, you brought up perfectly, these branch campuses to these smaller downtown communities, if it's Fayette, McKeesport, the Beaver communities, you're seeing a major, major, you know, shutdown would be, you know, detrimental to these downtown areas that we see a lot of rebirth and coming back. New Kensington has a lot of investment because of just Penn State and other areas, because of what was able to be done because of the projects and the partnerships. So the Westmoreland County Industrial Development Corporation, they put a project known as the Digital Foundry. It's a think tank that started coming in there. As well as, you know, you're seeing numerous shops. So the downtown of New Kent has been really a major rebirth. And with the announcement last year of rebuild, a major area along the river for 50 years, these properties have been slowly deteriorating, and now we see, you know, a half of, you know, almost a couple hundred million dollar project being reinvested in New Kensington, and you're having that youth population go to that downtown. For that to take that kind of a hit, we don't want to see our downtowns, these population centers, go backwards. So we're going to fight like hell to, you know, prove our point, explain why we need to keep the New Kensington site open for the Penn State campus, and you know, plead our case. And it's out of our hands from there, but we're going to do our best to really reiterate why it's a necessity for our small communities.
Sean Curtis, Westmoreland County Commission Chair. Appreciate it. It sounds like you got a lot of good stuff going. Thanks for sharing.
A lot of good stuff, and we'll help you every way we can on the Penn State stuff. Thanks, Commissioner.
Well, thank you very much, Larry, Rich. Appreciate it. Have a great morning, and I like to hear what you guys are talking about next year as being a proud Allegheny County native and going down to being very Irish. I'm going to have to join the bar next year, your side, and join that Pittsburgh pride there.
We'll get you again, sir, Sean. Absolutely.
Talk to all right. What is the name of your son's bar?
Cork Harbor, County Cork.
Cork Harbor. Yes. That's where my grandmother's from.
You're from County Cork?
County Cork.
There's always a Pittsburgh connection somewhere. Larry.
Unbelievable. Cork, you got it.
From the Goldberg, Persky & White News Desk, a man and a teen are in custody in connection with a burglary at Keystone Shooting Center Monday morning. It's a crime much like earlier gun store robberies, many involving teens.
That's troubling. It just seems like there's no way anyone's able to stop it. So they just keep doing it because they're not getting caught, so they just get bolder and bolder.
And it sounds like, Paul, they've made some real progress with this, with two of the four being arrested.
Yeah, they've got two, a man and a teen in custody. They recovered six of nearly two dozen stolen weapons, and they're still at work. A judge in the Dominican Republic ruled Tuesday Joshua Ribby was free to leave, and he ordered authorities to release his passport.
And I would imagine the family, the mother and father, it was heartbreaking to see them, but they do want a death certificate for their daughter, believing she drowned.
Yeah, they do. And Hirschen, that's the company that owns Dollywood and several other amusement parks, is acquiring Kennywood. And a member of the family that once owned Kennywood thinks this is going to be good.
So they definitely know what they're getting into, and you know, I think they'll definitely instill those values, continue to go forward, and you know, not lose that site of tradition.
And I had a friend who was a very funny guy, was telling Rich, who said, under the new ownership, potatoes will be out, the new eatery will be called the Peach Patch, and the old mill will become Pirate's Nightmare featuring an animatronic of Sid Bream. Wrapping up the hour with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, 10 counties and the city included, and the governor's coming.
We got the governor coming to town this week. And, you know, Sean Curtis, Commissioner Curtis, was talking about data centers and what's going on in Westmoreland County. The governor and his team have really leaned into the opportunities of AI and data centers, and how Pittsburgh is really, because of CMU and the natural gas and all the things that we have in this region, can really become a player. So he's going to be at CMU talking about some of the initiatives that they're working on. And anytime we get a governor into our city, it's a good day for us economically.
I think he understands and appreciates the Southwestern Pennsylvania corridor and knows that we have massive potential too.
Very much so. And you know, the one thing, even though the governor is from the other end of the state, and he certainly roots for that other football team, with the Green, the Super Bowl champions, he made his announcement when he was running for governor in Pittsburgh.
The Big Game
he came to
show.
Pittsburgh to make that announcement.
Larry Richard with Anchorman,
on the North Shore,
Paul
right where
Rasmussen,
we're going to be having the NFL draft.
So,
and obviously having Austin Davis as his lieutenant governor,
of
Pittsburgh, a guy from the Mon Valley. His connections here are strong, and make sure the opportunities that we have here
with
in Pittsburgh around
Zelensky
robotics, life sciences,
Paul,
data centers, AI is
like
really going to be big.
Yes, they're going to, and as a result of overnight missile and drone attacks launched by Russia, into Ukraine, several regions there, and then the Ukrainian forces responded with a drone attack on an oil depot in Russian territory. So Zelensky saying today, this morning, that he plans to speak with President Trump.
You know, we have the St. Patrick's Day parade. Spring is coming
tomorrow,
and
for those that don't know, we have a lot of Ukrainian.
They're wrapping up spring training this weekend and early next week, and then the season for them starts.
Joining
us is the pastor. The season begins. They start south, but then they come north. 4th. I think it's April 4th is opening day. And with Paul Skeens and McCutcheon and the team, let's hope.
I think
against
about
the New York Yankees,
the people of Ukraine in the last 3 years.
No, that's terrific. The New York Yankees. We can say that in Pittsburgh.
It'll be a huge, huge weekend.
It'll be great.
Thanks, safe travels. Thanks. To try and at least broker a ceasefire and hopefully find a way to end this war.
Yeah, well, they're a resilient people. This has been going on for, 350 years, actually. And, the last 3 years have been very intense. But they are resilient. They are, raising their kids, going to work, despite being a nation at war. And I've been there 3 times since the war started. And you don't see homelessness on their streets. You don't see graffiti. You see a can-do attitude. And their churches are full. So if that's not the sign of a victorious people, I don't know what is.
Pastor, what is at the root of this dispute that goes back over more than 3 centuries between Ukrainians and Russians?
Well, it's Russian imperialism, the desire to have empire, like the British had an empire and the French and Germans and other nations had overseas empires. Russia was never able to do that, so it conquered its neighbors. Slowly, since the 19th century, its subjected peoples have risen and said, like Poland and like Italy and other countries, we want to have our own nation. The other nations were more benevolent in allowing their subjected populations to achieve measures of independence, like Britain did with Australia or India or other countries. Malta, but Russia has steadfastly refused to do that. And lately, in the last 30 years, it's all about demographics. Russia is facing a demographic winter, and this war was predicted by Mark Stein back in 2005 that Russia cannot exist as an empire, much less as a country, unless it recoups surrounding populations by force.
So do you believe, Pastor, this is just a first step, but it's been... I'm sure from their standpoint, they thought this would be over in weeks initially, and here we are 3 years later, and countless men and women and innocent people killed. What is their end game now?
Well, that's I think their end game, first of all, is to save face. They need to get out of this as much as Ukrainians do, but they can't just press the stop button because they have almost 1 million casualties. And they have to show something for this slaughter, so their end game is really, to get as much territory as they can before the forces of nature, halt their advance.
Yep.
I think it's just to get as much land before the war ends.
Yeah, Pastor. Zelensky just spoke at a news conference in Helsinki a short time ago, and he urged President Trump and European leaders not to give too much to Putin without some security guarantees for his nation. Here's what he said.
For us, the red line is the recognition of Ukrainian occupied territories as Russian territories. We will not agree to that.
And your reaction, Pastor?
Yeah, he's absolutely right, because they've been dealing with this war since 2014, and Russia has consistently used ceasefires, the Minsk agreements 1 and 2 and other agreements. They've consistently used ceasefires as pauses towards further war. We view ceasefires as steps towards peace. And every time Ukraine has been given promises with no meat, and this began in 94 when Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons on American promises. So at this point, the Ukrainians are right to say, okay, enough with promises. We need real security guarantees to stop the killing of our children and the raping of our women.
Pastor, a final thought, and that is, since you've been in country 3 times since the war started, what would you like Pittsburghers to know about Ukraine and your people?
Yeah, don't listen to the disinformation and propaganda that's here in American, press. Russia is trying to sway American public opinion through lots of disinformation. And to know that it's the most religious country left in Europe, and they are very much like Western Pennsylvanians. They're, they live in the hills. Western Ukraine, they are miners, they're farmers, they're artisans, They've never conquered their neighbors. They're a peaceful people, and this war came to them. So that's what I want people to know, is they're just like us. They're a religious people, and they're a peace-loving people, and they've been victimized. And to not believe media campaigns that are trying to portray the Ukrainians as aggressors.
Pastor, we really appreciate your time and our thoughts and prayers with you and the Ukrainian people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pastor Jason Charon, who has a Ukrainian Catholic Church here in Pittsburgh, and interesting, Paul, to get his thoughts from someone who's been there.
You can tell it's close to his heart. I mean, he really knows his topic.
Yeah, and thanks for providing the update from Zelensky.
Yeah, I just saw that just a moment ago while we were talking with the pastor.
Here with what is trending,
yes,
T. Yes,
absolutely. Kennywood. When was the last time you've been to Kennywood? It's under new ownership now. So, I mean, does people talk?
Two summers ago?
Really? I don't even think people even go to Kennywood.
They still go to Kennywood.
So what about flying? You like flying? Are you afraid of flying? 65, according to a new study, 65% of people are now afraid to fly. And I think I'm in one of the 65%.
Obviously, you're in the majority. That's because I think a lot of it, if it was a recent poll, just because of all... just in the last few months, what's transpired.
Yeah, but do you think, I mean, I look at it like, hey, you have to get there some kind of way, right? And you can't get everywhere by a car or a train, or so you eventually you're going to have to fly sometime. But I've taken it on myself to be more secure and look around and make sure things are all good.
Some people,
you
though,
had your experience.
They have kind of a rule of thumb. If it's within 5-6 hours drive time, they'll drive. Because when you calculate the time you would leave your house to go through TSA, to wait at the airport, delays potentially, even a one-hour flight, say, to Philadelphia, is it just easier to drive? In some cases, people would prefer that because they don't like to fly. But if you're going to California, Florida, go, baby.
Go, go, baby, go. And lastly, oh, goodness, Larry, Gene Hackman, $80 million will. Who does it go to? No one knows. He has three kids, but they weren't named as beneficiaries because his wife was named. She died before Gene, and now it's up in the air. People really need to think about things like this, and you don't, because people think it's morbid to think about preparing for days like this, but it's up in the air. $80 million.
And it all was supposed to go to his wife.
Correct.
And she died first.
Exactly.
This is a complicated matter for...
yes, for a lot of people. But Larry, honestly, people really and truly don't think about these things. You go, you live your life and you never think this day would come. But $80 million, and now $80 million is up for grabs between the three of his children.
Maybe I'll get one of those emails that say, hey, Gene Hackman left you $80 million. All you have to do is give us all your wiring information to your bank.
Exactly. Right. It's trending with T.
Thanks,
you be
T.
The judge. Thank you.
To Myra Rush. Yesterday, just before 6, the splashdown of this long-awaited return of the two astronauts. There were two others with them, but they were expecting to come home. In the case of Butch and Sonny, we have the latest with CBS's Karen Waugh.
They're going to be spending a few days here at the Johnson Space Center at the crew quarters. The medical experts are going to check them out, make sure they're readjusting to this gravitational pull back here on the ground.
A Houston homecoming. Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams reunited with loved ones hours after their return from a 286-day space odyssey.
Splashdown, Crew 9 back on Earth.
The SpaceX Dragon carrying Wilmore and Williams, along with Crew 9 Commander Nick Hague and Russian cosmonaut Alexander Gorbunov, splashed down off the coast of Tallahassee, Florida at just before 6 p.m. yesterday.
Some happy waves, smiles all around.
A pod of dolphins swam nearby as the recovery team pulled the capsule out of the water and later assisted the four crew members as they climbed out.
In William's hometown in Massachusetts, residents gathered to root for her return.
We all kind of feel relieved that she's, like, safe.
Ignition.
The two astronauts launched on the first human test flight of the Boeing Starliner in June of last year. But the vessel developed propulsion problems and, for safety reasons, returned to Earth without them, stretching their planned 8-day mission to 9 months. It was a SpaceX vessel that finally brought them home after it carried their replacements to the ISS.
And it shows the benefits of the commercial public-private partnership that we have.
During their extended mission, Williams set a spacewalk record for women astronauts. NASA says she and Wilmore also conducted more than 150 experiments.
CBS's Karen Waugh. Butch and Sunny, I could see the movie coming, Aaron.
Oh, yeah. And it's in the works.
How about those dolphins? You saw the video now.
I did. It was just so sweet. They were just kind of surrounding.
Right. A literally pod of dolphins. If you didn't see it, search it. We'll post it too. When the capsule splashed down shortly after, the dolphins surrounded the capsule and kept coming to the surface.
Yeah, it was cute.
What's the meaning?
What
I don't
is
the
know.
Deeper meaning there?
They quite literally came to the surface, it looked like, just as they were getting ready to open the capsule.
By the way, trending with T, she mentioned Kennywood being sold. How about this? I've got a funny friend, and he sent me a whole list of things that might change at Kennywood. One of them is suggesting that maybe Mr. Rogers' neighborhood would be replaced by the Housewives of Dormont.
Oh, gosh.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen. The last day of winter, so it's surprising that you see concerns about brush fires, of all things. In March, in western Pennsylvania, across the state, apparently, and we are honored to have with us Thomas Cook, who is the Pennsylvania State Fire Commissioner. Commissioner, welcome to KDK. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about with you, but let's start there. The increased risk of wildfires is pretty unusual for the month of March.
Yeah, but Pennsylvania is falling in line with what we're seeing across the rest of the nation, where with lack of rainfall, the underbrush is dry and ready to function as a tinderbox. So, you know, we're advising a higher level of caution, especially on what we call red days, where you have extreme dry and extreme dryness and high winds. So,
what is the count right now? What is the status on wildfires and brush fires in Pennsylvania through this point in the year?
I honestly don't have a number in front of me this morning, but it is up from previous years. And we work with very closely with our partners over in DCNR, the Conservation and Natural Resources, a great partnership where we kind of attack the problem twofold.
And that said, we have heard recently, Commissioner, about some concerns of fire hydrants around the region not having enough pressure or water to support in case there was an incident outside of what we've seen, dealing with house fires. What are you hearing about this subject?
So this is, it's actually, I probably, I'll let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, right? It's actually a more common problem than people realize, especially in the older areas of the Commonwealth where the water system, dates in some cases back to the late 1800s. And what happens is sediment builds up in these water mains and reduces the size of the orifice the water can flow through, which then reduces flow. In some cases, that's what's going on. In other cases, you may have a water main that was put in for a residential neighborhood of single-family homes, and then it's converted to multifamily homes. And, so there's a lot of infrastructure problems that go into this. It's not just a simple, the system is broke.
Getting back to the wildfire question, is there an area in the Commonwealth that's more prone to this, or is there an area that is more prone as things stand right now?
I really don't have a great answer for you, Larry. It's, it's pretty scattered across the Commonwealth at this point. And, I don't believe I've seen the data show us any particular patterns over time.
We're with Pennsylvania State Fire Commissioner Thomas Cook, by the way, appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate. I understand that position, almost 40 years experience in this area. And that said, is there a way to begin to try to address the fire hydrant issue again?
So it starts with, you know, are we out inspecting, testing, and on some type of regular schedule, and where we identify problems, that those problems are pushed over to the water authority for resolution.
And while we have you, any other thing on your radar while we have a chance to hear from the state fire commissioner?
Sure. I mean, you know, this whole hydrant thing and wildfires, you know, they're two of many issues that the fire service in Pennsylvania is trying to come to grips with here. You know, we've got funding issues, we've got staffing issues, and there's no one size fits all solution that works everywhere in the Commonwealth. One of the things that we're working with Governor Shapiro on is part of his budget proposal for the 25-26 budget is a brand new $30 million funding stream to create a competitive grant so that, you know, we can start to address, and it's only a start to address the funding problems we're having in the fire service across Pennsylvania.
I am starting my newscasts each hour with a short story about the fire risk being elevated due to the dry and windy conditions. And the question that I have about that is at what point does a burn ban come into play?
So the way the laws are written in Pennsylvania, the county government is responsible for the burn bans. So it's up to the county to be tracking.
Good morning, Larry Richard, with a special in-studio guest who I met almost 12 years ago.
When the risk is too high,
one of our original hometown heroes, Dr. Terry Sawicka Reed, in studio this morning.
Or Parks and Rec can, or the Game Commission can put bans in place on state-owned property.
Well,
but it is something, you know, obviously we work in consultation with the emergency management coordinators in the counties and try and determine when the threshold hits a point where we need the burn ban.
Students, for the most
Commissioner, we really appreciate your time. Great information.
Thank you for that process.
Thank you for having me on.
How the school came. Pennsylvania's State Fire Commissioner Thomas Cook.
A man and a teen are in custody in connection with a burglary at Keystone Shooting Center Monday morning. It's a crime, much like earlier gun store robberies, and many involve teens.
That's troubling. It just seems like there's no way anyone's able to stop it. So they just keep doing it because they're not getting caught, so they just get bolder and bolder.
And the question is, did they find maybe a repeat group of offenders?
A few years ago, you established a scenario. Yes, it appears that this is connected in some way because the MO is the same. People come up in a stolen car. One stays behind in the car while the others break in. They grab as much as they can as quickly as they can and then leave.
I've been there. And this is
a judge in the Dominican Republic, Larry, has ruled Tuesday Joshua Ribby is free to leave. And he also ordered authorities to release his passport, what could be the final chapter in this story.
And you just see the parents if you have not.
I do.
It just breaks your heart.
It's an incredible honor.
They would like a death declaration.
And then Hirschen, the company that owns Dollywood and several other amusement parks, is acquiring Kennywood. Now, a member of the family that once owned Kennywood thinks that this is going to be good.
So they definitely know what they're getting into, and I think they'll definitely instill those values continued to really go forward and not lose that site of tradition.
Yeah, that's Pat Quinn.
And this company is based in Atlanta.
Help to have a better understanding.
And my buddy sent me suggested changes
so
that might come under the new ownership.
Okay.
Riders must be as tall as Scarlett O'Hara, idea.
Almost like our senators. But it's a really
but I still love
position.
The old bill now, will become said, Pirate's Nightmare, featuring an animatronic of Sid Breen.
Tied a lot of these things all together.
Well, what a lovely memory.
That's our top story.
Let's just draw that one out for a while.
D-Day, Friday, June 6th, yes. A week shy of the Army's 250th anniversary.
Created a special event along with Rocky Blyer.
Yes, isn't that incredible?
So it's officially called Rocky Blyer's Roll Call for the Greatest Generation, honoring our Centurion veterans of World War II and to recognize the 250th of the United States Army.
Yes, we are on June the 6th, Friday, from 4 to 6 p.m. at Stage AE. It's going to be an incredible, incredible event, historical, actually, and possibly for many the last time to be able to honor these World War II veterans.
And to be recognized, and I know yesterday, and we're in a process of interviewing these centurions, in this case, Emily yesterday, who was about to turn 100 on July 4th, was so touched and honored that you recognized her, even in this moment.
She was an incredible, just a classy lady, totally committed, made that sacrifice in 1941, I believe.
Yeah, and she also traveled around the world, worked with the embassy, and was very proud of her service. And she said she had the Army to thank for, you know, because I asked her, though, it's funny, anybody that I asked her, approaching 100, mm-hmm. what's her secret to longevity? She said, don't get married.
Yeah, he gave us all a good laugh at that one. I mean, but she looks incredible, and she's used to dancing and singing and just a very active woman. But she owes her entire life today to the Army, to having joined the Army all those years ago, 80 years ago, and then to have the life that she's led is pretty impressive.
And she's incredibly fit,
very
sharp mentally. And she said, outside of getting a little tired, she's tired, you know, but she, what a sweet and courageous woman. And so we're going to recognize the Centurion veterans too, but all branch members are welcome.
Absolutely. All seven branch members. We're reaching out to any World War II surviving veterans who would like to attend. We also want veterans of any branch at any time period to join us at no cost, as well as active duty. So we're working very closely with the Harrisburg Battalion and the Pittsburgh Company Commander to help bring the military side of this to play and to kind of balance it out with the civilian side.
And I know that everybody that I've talked to about this, when they hear support veterans, Rocky Blyer.
I know.
Honoring, I mean, everybody's in. Nobody said no. And you've got a lot of dignitaries coming. Can't list them all, but it's going to be a big day. And there's a dual, I would say, event status on the North Shore that day, because that's Friday, June 6th, D-Day.
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies are in town.
Yes.
So you can go to this event with Rocky Blyer, and then you can go to the game.
Absolutely. And that's
while you're
make
there.
A day of it.
And so if people want to get more information and reach out, where are you directing them to?
To Phase 4's website, phase4learningcenter.org. And also to, if they want to speak with someone, they're more than welcome to call me personally at 724.
No, don't give out your personal number. No. You Phase 4, that's the number 4, phase4learningcenter.org. Rocky Blyer's roll call for the greatest generation, honoring our Centurion veterans of World War II, and celebrate the 250th birthday of the U.S. Army with special guest and honoree, Rocky Blyer.
Yes, we're so grateful to Rocky. He's totally committed to this. Very, very excited about this, and also to not just be here for the World War II veterans, but for the Army's 250th birthday. As we know, Rocky is a war hero himself from the Vietnam era.
Incredible man, incredibly generous, and incredible in way he helps other veterans, yeah, too. So we'd love to see you there June 6th. Check it out, phase4learningcenter.org, for tickets and sponsorship details. And it's a nonprofit. Any proceeds will go to the Tom Reed Armed Forces Center at Phase 4 Learning. Dr. Terry Sweeker-Reed Casa, superstar.
Yeah.
This is great. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's a chance of a lifetime.
This afternoon, check out our Drive at 5. These are the top stories of the day every weekday afternoon with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. And right after the news at 9:30, we're going to have our weekly visit with Christine Sorensen, Marty Griffin's wife and anchorwoman.
Katie added K. sunshine TV. To the studios right there.
And speaking of KDK TV, guess who we have with us right now? Just another big award for John Delano. John received, you tipped me off to this, Paul. It was John Delano Day yesterday. Why didn't I know about this?
City Council honored John Delano in chambers yesterday.
Hey, John.
I'm laughing. You know, you talk about the big news stories that you have. This is definitely not one of them.
Well, no, it's kind of cool, though. That,
it is an honor, and I do appreciate in this case, the unanimous vote of City Council. but I asked my wife if there was anything special going to happen on John Delano Day, and you can guess the answer.
she said, yeah, take the garbage out.
There we
out.
Go, yeah.
Yeah, right, as long as every other day of the year is hers. let me just say right off the bat, they honored a number of people, and it wasn't just John Delano. Delano Day was also a day for people like Henry Reese and Nikki DiMario and John Adam and a bunch of young people who qualified for the 2025 Academic Games National Tournament. So as I said in my little talk to them, there are so many people who do wonderful, wonderful things in this region and deserve these kinds of recognition. I just get the chance or had the chance for 30 years to report on it, to talk about it. And so I think there's a qualitative difference between what some of these individuals do and what I did in the media world. But nonetheless, I'm very grateful Teresa Kale Smith and Kahari Mosley co-sponsored the resolution. These are two individuals who are often on opposite sides politically. So I appreciate when that happens, they come together.
John, curious to know, how's retirement going so far?
Well, you know, I'm still in my attic. And it's, I'm up here. I'm here right now. And I wouldn't dare show you a picture because it's gotten very cluttered and messy since it's never on TV anymore. I just have papers strewn everywhere. But I'm doing very well. I've got all these outside activities that I'm involved in, and I still do moderating of legislative panels and speaking to groups and organizations about what's happening in the world politically. And I'm trying to develop a new program on what it was like to interview some of these crazy folks over the last 30 years and see if anybody would be interested in having me talk about that. So it's I'm busy, and after a winter of double COVID, I got hit twice with COVID and influenza A, I'm finally very healthy and back up and at 'em. So all is good.
Well, you sound well-rested. And energized. Well,
it's awfully nice, my KDK TV friends, and you guys in radio will understand this. It's awfully nice to wake up in the morning and not have to think, what the heck do I have to put on TV tonight? You know, and there's a lot of stress in our business. You guys know that better than most, and it's there's no question that removing that stress on a daily basis is really, really good. So I heartily recommend retirement. Someday we're going to have a Larry Richard and Paul Rasmussen Day in Pittsburgh. Who knows when, but hopefully not too soon.
Don't hold your breath. But that said, you must at times, because of what you did all those years, want to react to what's happening in the moment.
Oh, yeah.
You go, oh, yeah, I would do this, or I'd be calling this person.
Right. Well, there are a couple things that happen. One is you see interviews with people that I would have interviewed, and you think they're not asking the right questions.
You know? Right.
There's always that second guessing. I'm sure Larry and Paul, both of you know that experience where, well, gee, if I had had that guy in front of my camera or in front of my microphone, I would have asked this, this, and this. So that goes through your mind a lot. And then secondly, just the opportunity to interview folks, which KDK offered me. But we're going to continue to be around and hopefully do some political analysis from time to time and talk about elections and candidates. And I'm doing my best to stay in touch with folks, so we'll see.
Well, I'm going to do you a big favor, John. I'm going to reach out to Steve Ehrenrich with Petite Kitchen and Bath, and I'm going to say, if you can add attics to that, we got a new endorser for you.
I can hear it now. Yep.
Yes. Petite Kitchen and Bath and attics.
Here's John Delano.
That's funny because I'm looking up at my ceiling. There are cracks in the walls. This alcove, it's kind of an alcovey situation when you're up at the top floor, the slanted roofs. And boy, this could use a good makeover, but I'm not sure I could afford one. I'll tell you that because I'm not getting a paycheck anymore.
Well, we're going to reach out again. So, but it was nice that you were recognized in the city. Happy John Delano day after.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it very much. Great to be with you, Larry, and all your listeners.
You got it. Love talking to John Paul.
Me too.
I think he's fair-minded, and I think he's done a tremendous job in his career, and it still continues, just in a different way.
He's an enthusiastic human being, and I like hearing from him.
He's a good guy. Two, we got Marty Griffin. We'll check in with Marty here in just a few minutes, see what he's working on. In the meantime, Marty's wife, Christine Sorensen, KDK TV anchorwoman, is here every Wednesday, talk about all things Kidsburg.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I see, and I'm very interested in this, Dominus High School for Entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So this is really cool. A brand new high school opening this fall for 9th and 10th graders. And then every year after that, they're going to add a new grade level. Enrollment is open now. There are a few spots left. So if you're interested, listen up. This is really cool. It's all focusing on entrepreneurship. The CEO of this new Dominus High School, which is going to be in Wilkins Township, which is not far from Penn Hills. He's also the CEO of the Penn Hills Charter School for Entrepreneurship, and that's for kindergarten through eighth grade. And I got to go visit that school just to get an idea of kind of what it's like.
Yeah.
Now, the lower level is going to be different than the high school level. The lower level uses something called this micro society, where the kids have their own businesses, which they run in the hall. They have like kind of like fake credit cards, but actually has credit, you know, for school things on it, which they can buy things. And so it's a really cool program at the lower level. And there was so much demand. I mean, they have a wait list every year that he knew more and more people are wanting this. So they're creating a brand new curriculum for this high school. They traveled the world to innovative high schools to see what they're doing. And what's really cool is they're tying in Pittsburgh industries. So they've got four main pathways for these high school students: technology, education, healthcare, and culinary.
I love this.
Which are all industries, right, of course, that you know are very big here in the Pittsburgh region. And, you know, you can do anything with this when you graduate. You can go on to college because these kids are going to be taking college level classes at the high school day one. You could start your own business. You could work for another company. So anyway, it's exciting. I hope you'll see my news story, the print version, and also the video story where you can kind of see what it's like at the lower level school.
This is really innovative, and I love this. Gives young people different options.
Well, you know, there's a real challenge in education right now. A lot of kids are disengaged. In fact, I'm reading a book right now called The Disengaged Teen. And I think a lot of parents can relate to that.
Absolutely.
The kid, you ask a kid when they finish school, because we have two high schoolers, how was your day? Fine.
Right.
So tell me the best part of your day. And they're literally like literally nothing stands out. And I'm not blaming teachers. There's a lot of things that have led to some of the challenges that, you know, students are facing, kids are facing. Every kid's different. You know, it depends. But point being, I think this will really engage a lot of students because they're going to see what their education is for. And it's going to help motivate them to, you know, want to learn.
I think stereotypically, teenagers at a certain age kind
of
are like that, you know, especially guys.
Yes, especially boys.
Just like, you know, they don't. Yeah. It's hard to, you know, and you, as your parent, you want to find out what's really going on.
Well, you want them to be excited. You want them to be motivated. I mean, school has a purpose. It can be exciting. There's a reason, you know, you want to do well. But sometimes it's hard to make that connection for kids. And I'm hoping, it sounds like this school might really help with that.
Three animal-related events coming up, and it's this weekend.
Yes, absolutely. So this comes from our guide of fun things to do. And these are just a few of them, but they are all animal related. So if you're an animal lover, you're going to love these. On Saturday, Nature Fest at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History in Oakland from 10 to 5. This is family friendly, fun, all kind of cool programs with experts and animals and insects and that kind of stuff. And then also on Saturday, the Pittsburgh Zoo is bringing some of their animals to the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh at 3 o'clock. And on Sunday, they're bringing some of the animals to the Children's Museum from 1 to 3, part of their I Am Wild exhibit that they created and will be touring. And speaking of the Children's Museum, it's free tomorrow in honor of Fred Rogers' birthday. So if you can't go Sunday for the animals, you know, tomorrow's a good day too.
Fred Rogers.
I know.
What a great guy. I mean, I don't know that there's anybody that resonates as much with people that saw his show originally. Just the kindness thing.
It's so true. And, you know, speaking of that, I want to share one more story. It was on KDKA yesterday called Club Hope. This is an incredible story that is so inspiring to me. This teacher at Moon Area Middle School, her husband passed and her kids were in elementary school. And she saw how challenging it was for her kids who were grieving. And she created a club called Club Hope, where other kids who are grieving, most of the kids, more than half the kids have a parent who passed, but for some of them, it's a grandparent they were close with. And they meet every other week after school and they connect and they do activities to remember their loved ones. And it's, I got to go see it and talk to the kids and the parents. And it's just really cool how organic it is. The kids just connect to each other because they know they've been through such a difficult situation that not many other kids have been through. And it's making a real difference in their lives to have that peer-to-peer connection, to see someone in the hall they know who understands what they're going through.
Right.
And the teacher, Lisa Tolliver-Lehman, is hoping that maybe someone listening might say, you know what, we need that at our school, because trust me, there are kids everywhere going through this who need that at their school. And if this is something you think you might be able to start, please reach out to her. We've got her email and the story at kidsburg.org and at kdka.com/kidsburg.
Christine, thank you. Really good stuff. And that Club Hope important because, as we all know, we're all going to go through grief at different levels at some point. And it's good for young people to understand that they share that with others. So I appreciate it.
It makes such a big difference. I mean, parents, you know, want to do everything they can when their kid is going through a difficult time like that. But sometimes, you know, the parent can't do everything. Sometimes they just need to talk to another kid
right,
who can understand it.
Christine will be with her husband, Marty, here, and we'll check in with Marty coming up next. Kidsburg.org. Thank you, Christine.
Thanks.
Persky and White News Desk. A man and a teen now in custody in connection with a burglary Monday morning at Keystone Shooting Center. It's a crime much like earlier gun store robberies and many involving teens.
That's troubling. It just seems like there's no way anyone's able to stop it. So they just keep doing it because they're not getting caught, so they just get bolder and bolder.
However, with this story, they may have found a connection to some others and stopped future opportunities they were planning.
Yes, they have 2 arrests right now and 2 more to go. They've recovered 6 of the weapons that were taken on Monday morning, and these crimes are eerily all very much the same. A judge in the Dominican Republic may have written the last chapter in our missing student story, Larry. He ruled on Tuesday Joshua Ribby is free to leave, and he ordered authorities to release his passport.
And once again, her parents asking for a death certificate.
And Hirshen, the company that owns Dollywood and several other amusement parks, is acquiring Kennywood. A member of the family that once owned Kennywood thinks, this is Pat Quinn, by the way, that the park will be in good hands.
So they definitely know what they're getting into. And you know, I think they'll definitely instill those values, continue to go forward and, you know, not lose that site of tradition.
And a bonus story for Ernie Ricci.
Oh, boy, this is a good one. I'm looking right now at a proclamation released by Governor Josh Shapiro. It says, it is my pleasure to recognize Ricci's Italian Sausage on its 80th anniversary, crediting a small family-run business for their success over a period of 8 decades. And it's got a big seal there on the bottom of it, the governor's signature. Way to go. 80 years for Ricci's Italian Sausage.
Congratulations, Ernie.